If you have your Bibles with you, we'd ask you to turn to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 9. And if you're turning there, as always, pray for me. Pray that the Lord will give me what most needs to be preached. Pray for those that sit outside the church. Sometimes I forget to request prayer for those that have been disciplined from the church, and we need to remember that. 2 Samuel chapter 9, in the first verse, the Bible says, "And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may shew him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may shew kindness of the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." I'd like to preach, the Lord be my helper this morning, on the thought, sitting at the king's table. Dear Lord, we thank you for your goodness and watch care. Lord, we thank you for the mercy that you show in our lives every day. Lord, for the breath of life, for the strength to go about your work, Lord. We praise you for that. Lord, we pray for the church here in Dover, Lord, that you allow us to be a testimony in a dark day. Lord, that we would be found doing your bidding and about the Father's will. Lord, this morning, bless your word that's preached to the people here that are belong to you, and we would be faithful to give you the praise for it, for it's in Christ's name that we do pray. Amen. Now, I want to be preaching on this thought of sitting at the king's table. The story of Mephibosheth is a very, it's full of types, it's full of examples for us that are separated from God, that can't approach him. And if you have tried to approach him on any other way but by the merit of Christ, you have not arrived. You're not close to him. You may believe that you are, but that you are not. First of all, I see David really as a type of God the Father. In this situation, he is the king, and he calls people whom he will to himself. Despite what's taught out there today, the only real general call is us to spread the gospel, and then the effectual call comes from the Holy Spirit. Now, I will say that it doesn't come any other way but by preaching. The Bible says, through the foolishness of preaching. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul?" Now, I want you to see one difference. God knows all, and he's in all, but David, being a mortal man, had to seek people out. And then I want you to see, he did seek specific people, and they had to be under the house of Saul. They had to be down the generational line of Saul, and not only by Saul, also through Jonathan. Now, Saul was a rebel. Saul was a man, when he saw himself threatened, he began to act like a child. But I want you to see, despite that sin in his life, that David still honored him. Even at his death, as he was, all he did was run from him. He did not hate Saul. He did not despise Saul. And again and again and again, what you really find is that David always honored Saul. He always recognized his kingship. And so I want you to see who this comes through. And then secondly, it came through the house of Jonathan. Now, Jonathan was always a friend to David. Despite being of his father's house, he was always a friend to David. He always gave him fair warning when Saul was coming after him. He always said, you know, he shot the arrow and says, if the arrow goes far, you flee. You get out of here. And he sent him a sign that trouble was coming. Jonathan was always a friend to Saul. But yet and still, just like David honored Saul, Jonathan honored Saul too, and he went up against David. He fought with the father. He did not fight against his father at any time. And so we see here very much a type that, like as Christ is an advocate for us. I want you to see in verse 2, and there was of the house of Saul a servant who was named Ziba. Now I want you to see that this Ziba was not in the lineage. He's a type, he was a servant to Saul, but he was not an ancestor. He was not connected to Saul biologically anyway, and that's very much a type of a non-Jew, of a Gentile person. They're not connected in any way, but they can take on the role of a servant. Oh, we better off this morning if we had the humbleness to take on the role of a servant. But I'll tell you what, we're much too self-righteous. And what I have found among God's people is this: men who are to be the mouthpiece are worse than the women. We're far too proud to be a follower. You be conscious about that, and if you have that spirit within you, you ask that the Lord might help you and bring you to the point of being a good servant, and more than that, just being satisfied with the servant mentality. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he says, Thy servant is he. He was glad to be a servant. Verse 3, And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may shew the kindness of God unto him? Now, what a blessing it is that the Lord God, Jehovah, desires to show kindness to us. Have you ever thought about how merciful that God is? Even to the lost. You know, you look about and you see people in a day of rebellion, but they have cool, fresh air to breathe in. They have something to drink. They have something to eat. They have a place to lie their heads. Isn't it a wonderful thing that our Lord God, He does send blessings on everyone.
Amen.
He sustains our life that way. You know, even the elect, till He saves them one day, He gives us great mercy. He sustains our life. He brings us along the way, all to the point that salvation will come. But you think what a rebel you were before He saved your soul. And even in that, He preserved you. That's what is an amazing thing to me about our God. How merciful and kind. Even to those that despise and hate Him, I always think about these Sodomites, and listen, they've won a great battle, whether you think so or not. When they approved Sodomite marriage, listen, they won a great, great battle, and I want you to see they're sensationalized, they're God haters for the inside out, and yet and still God gives them fresh, clean air to breathe every day.
Amen.
That's a merciful God. That's a God. You know what? It would be my nature of me anyway, and I guess that's showing the nature of the flesh just to wipe every one of them out. But that's not our God. He's much more loving than we could ever be. And then Ziba answers. Let's read the rest of verse 3. And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. Now, I want you to think about how large the house of Jonathan was. He was an adult man whenever the battle between Saul and David occurred. They had grown children already, and no doubt he had some younger children too. And after all this was over, there was just one left. Now, those of us that have children, could you imagine losing all of those children except one? That is what Jonathan endured. He was wiped out. He was gone except this one little child who was handicapped. Now, you think about this. All the human race was wiped out the day that Adam took the fruit. We were just like the house of Jonathan, and we were wiped out completely. Every one of us cursed under sin and damned to die. That's what happened. Wiped completely out. You know what? I don't know what you're trusting for redemption today, but you do remember this. You were wiped out, and you couldn't do nothing for yourself. And that kind of puts all the ground at even level, and that we're all on the same, we're on the same page, we've done the same things. And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" Now again, I want you to see that David was limited by the flesh, but he's still a type of God because he wanted to help. He said, "Where is this little man?" Now, I want you to see, again, being in the lineage of Saul, Mephibosheth could have been viewed as a rebel. Mephibosheth could have been viewed in a way, if David was an evil king, let me stomp out the last one. Let me get rid of the whole race, shut down the house of Saul finally, the rebel be put away, and you know what? He'd been just in doing it. He would have been fair in doing it. And you think about how easy it would have been for a warrior like David to catch up with little Mephibosheth. Well, you know what? You're in the same shape as Mephibosheth this morning. If God would wipe you out, it wouldn't even take the lifting of His finger. He knows where you're at, what you're thinking, what you're doing at all times. You know what? That's very humbling to me. Because I'm not always on the mindset that I should be. I'm not always in tune with the Lord like I would like to be. And to think of that in my situation, and very frequently in that situation, that I'm a Mephibosheth and he can catch me and wipe me out at any inkling that he should desire. And we ought to take that in an humble stance and therefore desire to serve Him the more and the more, but many times we don't. And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ananiel, in Lodabar." Now, my guess, and I don't know about I don't know about these two men, but my guess, he wasn't in any good situation. He was provided for, but my guess, it wasn't steak and potatoes. He was provided for and preserved, but I don't think he lived in a 3-bedroom brick. He was provided for and preserved, but I don't think he was in the best situation. He was down at Lodibar. He wasn't back where the governor lived. He wasn't back in the king's palace. You know what? I dare say most of us spend the majority of our Christian life down at Lodibar. And we won't get up and go to the king's palace. We won't get up and serve him as we should. Now, it's a great joy to sit at the king's table. There's a lot of responsibility, too. There's a lot of responsibility sitting at the king's table and being desired to be in that closeness to the king. If you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true king, was having his earthly ministry on the evening before the betrayal and the crucifixion, there were the 12 there, one of them a devil, and the 12 were there, and there was only one that had a desire to lay his head on the breast of Jesus. You know what? That tells us a whole lot. You know what? One out of 11 is less than 10%. Less than 10%. And so I I would have to say today that that time of spending on the breast of Jesus, the majority of it, would not be interested in wasting the time, would not be interested in the extra effort to do that. Verse 6, Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. Now, I want you to see, they sat and got him. Oh, well, you know what? You talk about a missionary journey. You talk about a missionary spirit. When they told Ziba, well, you go get him. You bring him down. You bring him back to the king's house. You bring him back and you let him sit with me. You know what? It's a wonderful, blessed thing, whether you value it or not, that you ever even heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody had enough interest to preach it to you. Somebody had enough interest to come that way. Somebody had enough interest to come and speak the things of God. You know what? You could have been far different than that. I presently have a student, and I won't go no deeper than that, that is from the nation of Zambia in Africa. You could have been born there. You could have just as easily been born on the backside of the desert. You could have been raised and born in a place where the name of Jesus was foreign. You didn't even know what Jesus meant. You had no perception whatsoever that there was a man named Jesus who was the very Son of God and was sinless in all that He did. You could have been born there, but because of God's goodness and His mercy, you were born here in a place where the gospel, at least at that time, was preached freely. We ought to give Him praise for that. You know, sometimes you may, and I do too, I wonder what's going to be next in the United States, but at least for the moment, the gospel can be preached freely. At least for the moment, we have the opportunity to preach and witness of the goodness of God. And so we see that He comes and is called out from that place. And then little Mephibosheth had the graces and he just fell down before it. You know, every time that you follow that in the Bible, if they are honoring the leader of the land, or if they're honoring God, they always fall out prostrate before Him. You know what? We don't see that anymore. I don't know that I've ever seen it. I've tried it in privacy alone. And you know what? You know what I've found? It's not so bad getting down. The hard part's getting back up. We ought to praise God. You know what? People would be embarrassed today to pray to God in that position, would they not? Would they not? And so we see then that little Mephibosheth, having no pride, being the only sole survivor that was left, and with his twisted lower extremities, then he had nothing to do but to fall out. You know what? He probably didn't even know what he was called for. He probably did not. You know what? He could have faced great judgment. He could have faced death. He could have faced the misery that whatever David wanted to do to him, because David was the sovereign leader, he could have snuck him out just like a candle. But he fell down in mercy before Him. You know what? You really want to be in the will of God and you really want to hear from God, the best thing you can do is fall out before Him.
Right.
You know what? I'll say this. The reason we don't hear from God more than we do is the time that we waste. And listen, I'm lumping myself in there. I'm not any self-righteous, wonderful thing, but we spend way too many hours thinking about things that have nothing to do with the Lord God. Just fill our time. You know what? We ought to be here doing more than killing time to the coming of Christ. We've got work to do. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a 12-year-old boy, he says, I must be about my Father's business. And the best we know, he did that. Some people call it the missing gap. I just think that we weren't blessed with that. I don't think he was idle. I do think he went back and worked for his father. I know somewhere in that 18 years, Joseph went out of the picture. And then we find him 18 years later as a 30-year-old man beginning his ministry. But all that 18 years, you know what I believe? Because again, he was the sinless Son of God. He was about the Father's business. He didn't waste that 18 years. Whatever preparation he made, whatever thing that he did to accomplish along the way, he performed it well because he was not a time waster. And many times today, that's exactly where we were. So we find little crippled Mephibosheth before the great leader, the king. You know, one day, whether you're saved or lost, you will find yourself bowed before the king. The agnostics, the rebels. And listen, I don't rejoice in anybody's judgment. I hope the Lord saves Hillary Clinton. But she can blaspheme the name of God, and you know what? One day she will bow humbly before him, and she will say, "Thou art God. I didn't know you then, but I know this, that thou art God." And she'll humbly bow. But the thing of it then, it will be too late. She will give him praise due his name. And then the Bible says she will be cast into the lake of fire. And everybody like her, everybody that had never been spoken life to, they will bow. And you think about some of the wicked men that have come and gone. You know what? Hitler will bow and say, "Thou art God." That Jewish God, the great God Jehovah, the people that I tried to destroy, "Thou art God." You know, if we could get a hold of that, I believe we'd be humbled down. I fully believe this. You'll praise him here or you'll praise him there. And could you imagine recognizing the mighty God of heaven? Because you will acknowledge him. And then being cast into the lake of fire. That's beyond my comprehension, but I do know that it will happen. So we find a little crippled Mephibosheth bow down his face before David. Verse 6. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said to Mephibosheth, and he answered the very same thing. And I'll tell you the difference. You know, little Ziba fell before him and said, "Thy servant." And here we really find one that would have been in the kingly lineage. And he said, "Behold thy servant." Saul's grandson, Jonathan's son, in the lineage of the king. And he humbly bowed before him and says, "Behold thy servant." You know what? And you think how little that Mephibosheth had to offer. What can a lame man do? Now this was in the day before electric wheelchairs. This was in the day before, you know, the very best that he could have hoped for was to crawl around a little bit. And yet he says, "Behold thy servant. Whatever little bit I can do, I will do it. What little bit I can accomplish, I will give it 110%. If we could be in that situation this morning, and you say, "Oh, I'm not a preacher. I'm not this. I'm not that." Well, you know what? You, like Mephibosheth, you can do something. If it's nothing but to sit and pray. Lydia Baxter was a hymn writer. And the best that I can see, she was probably paralyzed after the birth of her first child. And you know what? She wrote praises to God in a situation where we would have been angry at God. See, we need to get to that spirit of Mephibosheth and say, "Listen, I'm not much, but you can have me. whatever you would want me to do. Just like Hannah took Saul down to the house of God and says, Samuel, he said, and here he is, all the days of his life, he's yours. Sir, let him serve here in the temple. And you know what he did? Verse 7, and David said unto him, fear not. Well, what a blessed thing, because again, he could have been crunched out. He was a little man. He was all crippled up. He was an ancestor to the one that was in rebellion. So the first thing he needed to hear was, fear not. I'm not taking you out. I'm not killing you. You know, what a wonderful, blessed thing when we no longer have to fear God. Now, I understand we have to reverence Him, and sometimes I get fearful for what I deserve, but you know what? On the merit of Christ, I do not have to fear God. I do not have to fear Him. And what a, you know what? I bet that was music to Mephibosheth's ears, wasn't it? I bet it thrilled his heart, because you know what? He probably came thinking, okay, this is it. I'm done. He killed. Which, I'll say this, David did not kill Saul. If you'll follow that event, Saul killed himself. And my grandfather killed himself, my daddy was killed in battle. What's he going to do to me? And what a wonderful thing when he says, fear not. You know what? I don't know what you're going through this morning. And we're a little group and we know each other really, really well. But you know what? I really don't know what you're going through. I really don't understand your circumstance the way that I should. But I can say this, if you belong to the King, don't fear. You don't be fearful. You face it with gladness. You face it on the dependence to the God that you serve. Fear not. And I don't know what it is. But when people get broody, it doesn't worry me. Because you know what? I don't fear. And you know what? I may be knocked in the head tomorrow and laid out of here. But you know what? I'm not fearful for that, because I go on the merit of Christ. So he says, fear not, for I will surely shew thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. You know why God is good to you? On the merit of His Son. You know why He gives you life and keeps you safe? On the merit of His Son. You know, recent events in my own life, if somebody wants to get in your house, they'll get in. It's not those walls and that door that's keeping you safe. It really isn't. What's keeping you safe is the Lord God Almighty. What's sustaining you is God. It is not all those things that we try to cram in there and depend on. So the only thing that Mephibosheth had as a merit is that he was the son of Jonathan. And the only thing that you have a merit this morning is that you belong to Christ. If you're really born again, if He's saved your soul, if He's breathed life into the dead, you know what? That is your advocate. That is your only merit whatsoever, is that you belong to Christ. And that's what he said. He says, for Jonathan's sake, because of your father, because of who he was, you're in his lineage. Because of that, I'm gonna take care of you. I'm gonna show kindness. Notice what it also the promise. And restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. Now, I don't know how big Saul's place was, but being the reigning king of Israel for a time, I would suspect that he had quite the spread, that it was a big place, that it was a large accomplishment. And he says, I'm giving you back your granddaddy's land. And you know what? He didn't deserve it. Have you ever thought about this? Mephibosheth couldn't even take care of it. Because he's crippled. He didn't have the ability. And you know what? Most of the time, we don't have the ability to take care of what God gives us either. We really don't. I have found this among God's people. He will give you only what you can take care of.
You know why I don't have an 8-bedroom brick? Probably because I couldn't take care of it if I had it.
Right?
So I'll be satisfied with what I do have. I'll be glad in what He's given me. And people that always are reaching for the stars, you know what it is? They're just not satisfied with what God's given them. And more times than not, what I have found is they fall flat on their face. They really do. We all rejoice. So He says, I'm going to restore you what belonged to your grandfather. Isn't it a wonderful thing this morning that He restored to us our position in eternity? Isn't it a wonderful, wonderful thing this morning that we can sit at the Father's table on the merit of Christ, and He, on the merit of His Father, He was restored everything. He was given back the intact person that the royalty that He was. Then notice the other promise. And thou shalt eat bread at My table continually. In other words, the King's table. And you know what? I fully believe whenever the dinner plates were set, there was one there for Mephibosheth. Every time that they were ready to eat, Mephibosheth came hobbling in or brought in by other people. I don't know how he arrived there being a cripple, but I do know this. He sat at the King's table. And you know what? Even on this side of eternity, before we get to the great rejoicing that is yet to come, we can sit at the King's table. But I will say this, most of the time we refuse to. Most of the time we're so mucked up with sin in our life, we don't make it to the King's table. But occasionally during preaching, occasionally during singing, occasionally during private prayer time, oh, what a wonderful thing it is to sit at the King's table. And listen, if you don't know what I'm talking about, maybe you ought to make a calling and election sure. Maybe you ought to be sure that you're sure that you're sure this morning, because time spent at the King's table is a good, good time. There's no better meal whatsoever than He sets up for you. Now, it may not always be cake. It may not always be a nice set of meat, but what's there you need. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. What was the best thing for them? Pottage. Just a little soup. Something we'd have turned our nose up at. But you know what? It's what they needed. It's what nurtured them along. They did better than the rest of them. And you know what? Because they were eating the muck and the mire of the land that they were in. Good food. Pork. Steak. The very best that Babylon had to offer. And it was no good to them. You know what? What this world has to offer, it's no good to you. It's no benefit. We need to spend time sitting at the King's table. You want something different out of this meeting in October than what you've had for 20 years? Spend some time at the King's table, and I will guarantee you it will work out just that way. But if we take it as another week-long meeting, just okay, we got to go through this little routine to satisfy our pastor, that's what you'll get out of it. That's the extent you'll get out of it. And so we see then that Mephibosheth was honored and had a great and wonderful seat. Verse 8, and he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon me? Such as a dead dog as I am." Now, what a wonderful thing. You know what? Mephibosheth had a real good self-assessment. And that's exactly what we are. We're just dead dogs. You know what a dead dog is? Number one, it's useless. A dead dog don't alert you when someone's on the place. A dead dog is no company to you. It's no encouragement. And you know what? Dead dogs stink really, really quick. But that's what, you know, Can you imagine the God of all creation honoring you just to bring praise to Himself? That's what He did when He saved your soul. It wasn't to keep you from hell. It was to show the world that He is awesome enough to make something out of nothing. That's what it was. Had nothing to do with the avoidance of hell. It had everything to do of showing that He indeed is God. Verse 9. Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and all to his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and shall bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. And Ziba had 15 sons and 25 servants. Excuse me, 20 servants. So, did he get that? He said, not only did he make him right there at the king's table, he gave him his father's stuff back, and he said, listen, I'm going to give you 35 people to take care of the land. I'm going to be sure that, and you know what? And you think that they would bring it in and hand it to him, and in that sense, he didn't even need it because he was eating at the king's table. He didn't need that food, but it was going to be brought into him as an honor and as a praise for who he was. You know what? What a wonderful, wonderful thing it is to point someone to Christ. And what a more wonderful thing it is when they trust Him and they believe Him and the Lord God speaks life to them. You know, the Bible says very clearly that there would be crowns given in heaven. Now, first of all, the crowns is not for you to sport. They're to throw at the Master's feet. But there'd be some saved so as by fire, getting nothing. Now, do you deserve it? No. But Mephibosheth got it, did he not? Mephibosheth received it on David's good nature and on David's desire to see his father honored. He gave it to him anyway, and he used it for his prayer, and he used it to recognize who Mephibosheth was. Verse 11. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded to his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Now I want you to notice a couple of things, and we're going to be done. First of all, I want you to see the obedience of Ziba. All those rounds that he made, all those things that David says, Ziba, I want you to go do that, I want you to go do that, you find the fifth ship, you bring him here. He never said no once. And now he has even a bigger assignment. You work, Ziba, you work Mephibosheth's fields, and you bring it to him. And you never see him say nothing. Whatever you want, Lord. You know what we would want? We would want recognition. We would want, you know what? I ain't working for a cripple. I ain't working for somebody that won't even do nothing for themselves. I don't have to do that. And you know what? There's no free will of soul, but there is a free agent. And you can choose to, you can choose salvation, but you can choose to work for Him, or you can choose to sit on your backside. But you'll get the result of both. And so we see the sweetness and the willingness of Ziba to serve someone that most would be viewing as less than he was, as a little cripple, as someone that could do nothing for himself. He says, yes, I'll do that. I will serve him. Verse 12, and Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah.
And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem and did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Two things to finish. Number one, this Micha, he had a son. Now whatever happened to Micha, I don't know. But I do know this, that Jonathan's line kept alive because of the goodness of David. And then I do want you to see that his promise was kept. And he did sit at the king's table. But the last statement says again, and he was lame on his feet. See, that's one thing David couldn't do for him. David couldn't change his circumstance. He changed all about him, but the fact that he was crippled, and he was still crippled. You know what? That's the difference between David and our God. God can fix everything. If it's illness, He can fix it if He chooses to. If it's disaster in your life, He can fix it if He chooses to. If you're lost and need the Lord Christ, He can fix it. He can do things that David couldn't do. You know what? Lord, give the praise and the glory and the honor to the Lord Jesus this morning. If you, like Mephibosheth, sit at the king's table, give him praise. If you, like Mephibosheth, before they were found, and if you ever see a type of election, Mephibosheth was the king's grandson. He just had to be located. And this morning, you know what? You need to cry out to Christ. If you don't know Him, you seek Him with everything that you got. When you look for Him, you desire Him, you want Him. That's what we need to do.